In my Bible, it's easy to find. We're going to be preaching tonight out of the book of John, chapter 5, beginning at the first verse. I was looking, actually where I wanted to preach is a little further on, but I was thinking before I started preaching that the Word of God, especially like the book of John, is like a feast you go to, and you can start off with the meat and everything like that, and it's real good, but then you back up a little bit, and you got the green peas, you got the green potato, you got all the other things, and so I'm starting with chapter 5 of John, in the first verse here, praise the Lord. And after this, there was the feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and there was at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. And in these lay great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. And whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. And Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had now been a long time in that case. And he saith unto them, wilt thou be made whole? And that 38 years that he's been in there, when Jesus was born, he's already been there 5 years, because Jesus is about 30 years old here. But he'd already been there 5 years just when the angels were announcing the birth of the Lord. The impotent man answered and said, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming down, another steppeth down before me. And Jesus said unto him, Arise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And the same day was the Sabbath. That's where I'll stop reading the opening verse anyway. Praise the Lord. Brother Kyle, would you pray over the reading of the word? You will. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Help us, Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Bless thy people. Thank you, Jesus. Help me, Lord, as I bring out your word. Lord, I look to you, Lord. Wonderful is thy name. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Thank you for all you do. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. Sweet name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. It said that the same day was the Sabbath. And it goes on in verse 10 It says, "And the Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day, it is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed." Yeah. And he answered them that he that made me whole, the same said unto me, "Take up thy bed and walk." And they asked him, "What man is it that which said unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk?" It's kind of funny the way they said that, you know. He was healed. He'd been 38 years there at that pool and crippled and impotent, it says. He was healed and made to walk. And they want to know who's the one that said, "Take up thy bed and walk." You know, they weren't interested in the healing part. They said, "Who told you to take up that bed and walk?" It's just something to tell us about their attitude that they had. You know, and he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward Jesus findeth him in the temple, and said unto him, "Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee." You know, it's a good thing he ended up in the temple. You know, he couldn't go there before, being crippled like that. I don't think he'd be allowed in there if someone would carry him. I don't think they would allow him in there, nothing like that. Something... were you crippled or something like that? I don't believe they would let you in there. Yeah. But here he was. He went to church, you know, which was a good thing. Praise the Lord. He ended up over there. But he said, the Lord came up to him and said, "Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee." I wonder about that, you know, lest a worse thing come unto you. You know, it would be worse than what he had.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. But the man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." And therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because not only had he broken the Sabbath, but he said also that God was his Father, making him equal with God. And then answered Jesus and said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and sheweth him all things that he himself doeth, and he will shew him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For the Father raiseth up the dead, and quickeneth them, and even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. That all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth the Son honoreth; he that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father, which hath sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life." I once told a brother, a man, we were talking, it was years ago now, I think it was back in Detroit, where I was working in Ashley Dearborn, is next to Detroit there. I worked at the Ford Motor, and we were in a cafeteria, and we were talking and about the Lord, and I said, "Well, can you pass from death to life and not know it and not feel something?" And he thought about it. He said, "No, you can't do that. You can't pass from death to life and not know it." You know, we were talking about feeling something, you know, when you got saved. And it's impossible to go from death to life and not know it. You know, I praise God, but I did that for many years. You know, I was raised in the Lutheran church for many years, and thought I was okay, thought I was all right. So the Lord appeared to me, you know. I thought about that. The Lord appeared to me before I got saved in a dream, and I was mixed up in the Nazi movement and all that carrying on, and I saw him, and he was dressed in the shepherd clothing, and he had a staff in his hand, and I was behind him there, and he turned and waved his hand for me to follow me, you know, like that, to follow me. And I saw him there. And it took me 2 more years after that to get saved, but I did end up getting saved, praise the Lord. And then another time, when after Geneva, my wife passed away, I saw him again in a dream. And that time he wanted to give me a hug. And I remember him, he was standing like this, and he did his hands like this. Come here, And so we went, and he put his arms around me, and I remember I had my chin on his right shoulder, and I said, well, I've preached about this before, but I thought, there's his ear about 2 inches away from my mouth. And I said, if you're going to ask him a question, you better ask him now. And I said, Lord, what about me? Because what we were talking about before was all these ones, that had gone on, I think was brought by Brother Alan Newcomb, and different names. The exact names I gave him were taken from me. But I asked about them, and he says, don't worry about them. They're with me, And what about this one? He said, I've got them. What about her? No, she's with me. She's fine. And then at the end of that, he wanted to hug me. And I said, well, what about me, Lord? Am I going to make it? And his lips fell silent, when that happened. Praise the Lord. That was the second time that I saw him. But I understood later why, and I was starting to cry, and I started to say, Lord, why won't you say something? Why won't you answer me? Instead of answering me, he just dropped the answer in my heart. I don't know how he did it, but I felt it. I just felt it go in my heart, And I said, oh, I know why. Not only, it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. And I was asking him to judge me before the time, which he wouldn't do. It's after we leave this world, then we're judged. I was trying to get ahead of things, and I was trying to use him as a fortune teller in a way, and that's not what he's here to do. He's not a fortune teller. He's not one, like they have that song, Sarah, Sarah, will I be handsome? Will I be rich? A couple of them boats have already sailed, I think, but praise the Lord. He's not there for that reason. And as far as making it to heaven, you believe his word. It says if you believe his word and follow what he said, you pass from death unto life. It said, verily I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, believe in God, hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Praise the Lord. When I want to know whether I'm going to make it, I need to stand in front of a full-length mirror and say, well, Mr. Moran, what are you doing today? Are you going to serve God? Amen. I'm going to serve the Lord. Praise God. So that's at least twice that I saw the Lord in a dream. And I remember praying not too long ago. I said, Lord, if I ever see you again in a dream, or if I ever see you if I pass from this world or in the rapture, when I see you, I want to fall down and worship you, because I never had that chance. The first time I saw him, I chased after him. I was no mood to lay that, to fall before him. I couldn't catch him. He was leaving, and I ran after him. And I remember in my dream I saw my feet like that, but they were covered with lamb's wool. I could see feet under me, running toward him. And I said, I'm going to become a sheep. And I said, praise God for that. It came to pass. Later on, he saved me 2 years later, pulled me out of the Nazi movement at that time. I quit all that mess. He's blessed me ever since. He's been there to help me and all things. It's just so great. Praise God. He said, for the Father, in 26, it said, for the Father hath life in himself, and hath given to the Son, he hath given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and he shall come forth, and they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I can of mine own self do nothing, but as I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. And I bear witness of myself. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. Ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I received not testimony from men, but these things I say, that ye might be saved. He was a burning and a shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father gave me to do, to finish the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. And the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his image. I thought about that, because we've heard voices from the clouds that would come and hear a voice from heaven, but apparently that was not his voice. He sent the voice, he sent the word, but he said, you've not heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape, and ye have not his word abiding in you. He's talking to the unbelieving Jews here, the ones that were unbelievers. He said, you have not his word abiding in you, for whom he has sent, him ye believe not. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me, and I will not, and ye will not come to me, that ye might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. How can ye believe which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to my Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? It's a wonderful thing, that word of God. It's just like a steak dinner. You read it, and I was reading all that, and I got to thinking about God creating the world, back when he said, let us make man in our own image. Before he could say that, he really had to think about what it would entail. He knew, the Bible says that Jesus was appointed to be crucified, to be that sacrifice from the foundation of the world. And he would not have said, let us make man, if he hadn't loved us. If he first hadn't had that love, and they figured it all out, like we say, amazing grace, we sung the song today, it's so amazing. Why did he do it? Of course, the Bible says, you can't do that with God. You can't be the creation and say, what hast thou done? That's not my idea there. What I'm saying is, how in the world, would he have that much love? It's just amazing, amazing grace. That he, knowing that he would have to go to the cross one day, and knowing that all of us, each of us, and all those before who lived before, and those that will be living on the earth after us, he paid the price for that sin. He knew he was going to go to the cross. All the other prophets in the Bible, they had no idea. I think they may have some clue of what was going to happen, but they didn't know how things would really go. I've thought about that quite a bit, how Moses, if he knew he would never make it into the promised land, would have even started out. But he didn't know that. It just turned out that way 40 years later, that he messed up and he couldn't make it in. But the Lord knew everything that he was going to have to go through, all this. And he still said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. He still went forward with it, and I just imagine in my heart, I imagine him, it's not just enough to talk about loving somebody. It's not enough just to say, I love you or something like that. He put forth a demonstration of that love that would never, ever be matched again. No one could do what the Lord did. No one could come. The Bible says, greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. But that's laying down your life for your friends. How about your bitter enemies, and those that hate you, those that spit on you and curse you, and all those things, all the wickedness of man, It's just so amazing that he had that much love,
yeah,
to know what he's going to have to go through, but he still said, "No, let us make man." And
yeah,
me and Jimmy Price were talking before church. I think it was Sunday night, and he was talking about God can't lie. You know, it's impossible for God to lie. And I told him, I said, "Well, if God would say the sky is orange, it would be orange." You know, if he said the sky is orange, you know,
yeah,
it may be blue now, but when he said that, it would be orange,
yeah,
until he spoke it another thing. He can't lie. What he speaks, you know, it comes to pass. You know, when he speaks it, that's the way it's going to be, you know, until he speaks it another way, you
yeah
know. But he's very careful about that. The Word of God is true, you know.
Yes,
you read this
right
Word, you know, yeah, the John, the rest of the book of John, where he said, "Sanctify them in thy truth. Thy word is truth." You know,
yeah,
it's just so wonderful,
uh-huh,
you know, that we could have that much confidence in God, knowing that he loved us. If
yeah,
especially young people wonder, does God really love me?
Yeah.
But he would not have said, "Let us make man," if he hadn't had that great love.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
and one time I preached. One time I preached about something wonderful that God did not create, you know, and it was love, because he was always love, you know. He'd been love, you know. If he wasn't, well, there just would be no love at all, you know, because he is love. And I praise God for that. And I thought about that when I preached that sermon before. It's been years ago now, but I was looking for a sermon to preach. And the word come to me. I said, "When did God ever say, 'Let there be love'?" And you can't find it anywhere in the Word, you know, because it just always was. In other words, he always loved us.
Yeah, you
know, him and Jesus and the Holy Ghost were together from eternity, loving one another. There was love. You wonder, what did he do before he created the world? There was love, you know, there. There's nothing to compare with his love. It's just something like we sung, you know, it's amazing grace.
Yeah.
There's just nothing like his love, you know. I praise God for it, that he loved me enough to go to that cross, you know. And he loved me enough, you know, to know me. Somebody on Twitter, they asked a question. They said, who knows you the most? You know, who in your life knows you better than anyone else? And I answered, I said, my Savior. No question asked.
There you go, brother.
No question. He knows me so good. You know, and the amazing thing is, he knows me and he still loves me.
Yeah.
You know,
there
that's
you
the
go,
wonderful
brother
thing. He still loves me.
Yeah.
You know, as bad as I've messed up at times, you know, even as a Christian, I've messed up and did things wrong. There was a story, what was actually a video I saw on, I believe it was on Twitter or something like that. It was a middle-aged black man, and there was I think it was an 8-year-old boy, and you see him, he's chasing after the boy, and the boy's running, and he's going out into a street, and the guy swings his arm like that and smacked him on the back of the head, knocked him down on the ground, and the wording on the thing said that you called him the N-word. You know, and so he chased him down, and I thought about that. You know, that's man for you. That's the way man is. You know, do unto them before they do unto you,
uh-huh,
and whatever. You know, but I thought, what an opportunity it would have been if that black man was a Christian. You know, to if that boy did say that, they're questioning whether he did or not. But if he had said that, you know, to show that boy love, you know,
yeah,
it would have hurt him harder than that smack on the head, and
yeah,
whatever he hit the ground, it would have tore into his heart, you know.
Yeah.
If he showed him love and showed him the love of God at that time, you know, and held him, what a testimony it would have been, you know, to do that, you know. I've known people before. I was riding on a bus one time, and I was in the Nazi movement. I was still in that. I was in technical school, so I was riding on a Detroit bus. And there was a young kind of black man, middle-aged probably, but he was on the bus, and he was looking at me. Once in a while, he'd look up and look at me, and and I didn't pay much attention to him, but he come to his stop and got off the bus, and as he was getting off the bus, he pointed over at me and said, "Because of your foolishness, you're going to suffer." And that's what he said, you know. And I did. I suffered for many years, you know, until the Lord saved me. I was lonely all my life, just about, you know. Yeah. I didn't have any friends. I had to beg for work. But when I got saved, things turned around, and God got me work. And after I got saved, people were calling me, asking me to come work for them. I got great, good jobs, you know, and God helped me. And it's amazing God would have helped me in my schooling, you know, if I knew him back then. And I wonder about my dad. You know, he went on to his reward. I don't know if he knew the Lord or not. But yeah. At the time he died, I didn't know the Lord either. You know, but I wonder about it. I come home one day, and I saw him praying. You know, he would pray. He knew something was going on with his heart, you know. And I saw him praying, you know. So I just hope he made it, you know. It would be a wonderful thing. You know, I know my mother made it. You know, I know she gave her heart to the Lord before she went on. You know, so many good things. You know, we've got more to go to heaven for than we had yesterday, you know. It seemed like all the time there's more, you know. There's so much in heaven. And I believe we're living in those last days where we're going to see that rapture, you know. I believe some of us will live to that rapture. Yes, and it's a kind of a race, you know. Will I go the way of the grave, or will I go there, you know, the rapture? I know a lot of people thought that too in their life. They thought that maybe the end was near, you know. And they had that one book, I think someone wrote, 88 Reasons Why the Lord is going to Come in 1988, and all that. They talk about it, you know. But I believe we may not know the day and the hour, but we can know the season. And I believe that season is happening. And like someone said, I believe we're in the last few minutes of the last hour, you know, coming up. And when will he come? You know, I told him, help me to preach. I said, but if you come, take us home, Lord. It'll save. I won't have to preach. And not that I don't mind preaching, but it'll be so much better to be with him. It said, we're waiting for him. We're going to have a meeting in the air. And it says, so shall we ever be with the Lord. And I'm waiting for that day. God bless you. You come have a season of prayer around the altar, if you will. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. God is so good.